Okay, so one of the things we try and do here is talk to the people about what they are talking about. That's why we went to open lines years ago and just kind of followed the lead and don't do a whole lot of guests anymore, here and there occasionally. So we try and, you know, pay attention to what really is moving the needle. How much do you think this Ben Shelton, the U.S. tennis player, and I want to guess say if anybody's taping Wimbledon today and want to watch it later today, spoiler alert, because matches going on now just ended, in fact.
Just don't spoil the Tour de France.
No, I won't do that.
Thank you.
Was it stage?
Anyway,
Ben Shelton's an American. An American hasn't made it to the semifinals of Wimbledon since 2000. And, I'm sorry, to the finals of Wimbledon since 2009. Last American to do it was Andy Roddick. And he went three times, 04, 05, and 09. The last American to win the singles, the gentlemen's championship, or whatever the hell they call it, at Wimbledon, was Pete Sampras in 2000. It is 2025. Now, I kind of like international sports where we can truly say we're the underdog. And, you know, I watched soccer last night. We were an underdog against Mexico, and we lost. Ben Shelton, and again, we gave you the spoiler alert, he just won to advance to the semifinals. The semifinals, the quarterfinals. He's at the quarterfinal level at Wimbledon. And I'm wondering how much this could move the needle for Americans, because we haven't had a men's tennis player make it to the finals in over 15 years, and we haven't won it in 25 years. The women, Venus and Serena, Coco Gauff, we've seen success. And Shelton has made it to the semifinals in a couple tournaments, in the U.S. Open and Wimbledon. I don't know. I find this guy to be interesting. His girlfriend is Trinity Rodman. His sister just started a new job at, where was it? Where did she get her job?
Morgan Stanley.
Morgan Stanley. And she had to go back. And he publicly pleaded from somebody at Morgan Stanley to give her more time off so she can stay and watch him play. And they granted it. So that's become sort of this human interest story. I mean, we don't try to lie to the audience. We're not big tennis guys. You're not interested in all, are you?
Oh, keep going. Don't stop. Don't stop. You're on a roll. You're speaking for all of us.
Well, if he wins, he plays the number one player in the world in the quarterfinals, which is this Jannik Sinner. I don't know how to pronounce his name. Sinner, Sinner.
Sinier.
Could be.
Sinner.
Sinner. Could it be Sinner? I don't know.
Sinner. I don't know.
Well, maybe it would take him winning this and then another major or more tournaments, you know, because...
Is it Grand Slam?
Yeah, the Grand Slams. When was tennis most popular here in America? Like when it was Agassi and Sampras? I don't know, you know?
I think maybe in the early 80s when you had McEnroe, Borg, and Jimmy Connors and that group, but it could be later on. It's hard to gauge it.
But it was at one point, right? People cared in America, I think.
I think to an extent, some people will always care, right? But you're asking when it was biggest. I don't know when it was biggest.
Or at least the latest, like, which is maybe Sampras in 2000. But he was a quiet, reserved winner, champion. Shelton, you already mentioned he's dating Rodman's daughter. You know, he's younger. I think this generation is more flashy in general, right? There's social media now. There wasn't back then. I don't know if tennis can ever be maybe what it was, but can it be better than what it is for Americans?
I mean, if he makes it to the finals, by the end of the week, I'm sure we'll mention this again. And will there be some interest to watch Breakfast at Wimbledon and see him compete for a championship? Sure. Can you say it regularly?
Like, Doug, he can't, right?
No, he's got to go into a snooty voice.
Yes.
He literally cannot say it without.
I didn't say breakfast at Wimbledon. I didn't say that.
Damn close.
Yeah, so you have your crumpets and tea for breakfast at Wimbledon. I did not say that. That was not.
You didn't go that far, no.
No,
it was very subtle.
Yeah, it's, you know.
But it was definitely, you had a slight accent when you said
it. It's just a different affect. But, I mean, no, I don't care. Because I'm not a tennis guy. I just don't care. Now, could there be some interest later on? Like I said, if this guy's going to play in the final, there's a likelihood that I could be flipping through channels and stop on it for a minute, a little bit, to see how he's doing. But generally speaking, no. But right now, it feels like we're in a transition here in tennis, where we've moved on from the Roger Federer phase and
apparently Djokovic, we're in the Jannik Sinner era. And,
but that guy's played like five straight majors or majors, Grand Slam events, or whatever the number is. But no, I don't care.
Okay,
I'm just being honest.
No, it's all right. But like I said, we don't try to be something we're not. But. The other thing that caught my eye this weekend is a story on Front Office Sports about how attendance, ratings, and fan interest are higher for Major League Baseball. Things are pointing up. And a few things are being cited as to the reasons why. I think it's clearly Zach McKinstry. No. it's pitch clock. It's banning the shift. Like, I was watching that game yesterday, and I do this probably once or twice a week, where I'm just watching the pitcher work and work and work, and I'm just like, thank God for the pitch clock. I love the pitch clock, and I don't think it's impacted the game negatively in any way. And do you remember the pushback over the idea of a pitch clock and the limited number of throws over to first? And how that was going to ruin the essence of the game?
I don't remember many people saying that.
I remember it being said.
I don't think that was prevailing opinion. People said it, but I don't think that was like, you know, the majority of people were like, oh, let's not do that.
Yeah.
The majority of people were like, yeah, you speed it up? Absolutely. Let's go.
And we got some calls on it.
Yeah. But was it the baseball purist, you know, those people that probably adhere to the, I'm not going to vote for this guy for the first time Hall of Famer because you're not supposed to get in with 100% vote.
Sure.
Those
sure.
people are losers.
I agree with you.
There's Mike Valeni who just said, please, is it the tennis talk that brought you in?
No.
Oh.
Is that what's going on?
Well, we just mentioned, and, you know, spoiler, but.
How's Andre Agassi doing?
Yeah, okay. Well, then you're not into Ben Shelton yet.
I don't know who that is.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough.
Chris Shelton's child?
We haven't had a U.S. man win at Wimbledon since 2000.
Who the hell was that?
Pete Sampras.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah. The eyebrows.
And we haven't had a U.S. man play for Wimbledon's championship since 2009.
Andy Roddick?
Andy Roddick, yes.
Okay.
He did it
three
times.
Come on, I'm redeeming myself.
Yes, you are.
And where's Malavea Washington?
Right, well.
No, I'm out.
Vetus Gerolaitis.
Wasn't he Swartz Creek's own, Mal Washington?
Yes, actually, he was.
Yeah. No, yeah.
Anyway, so, you know, I thought maybe you heard that and wandered in because edumacate us, but.
Uh-uh.
All right, fair enough.
No, I have three thoughts. Two-thirds are serious, and one-third is kind of like stoking the flames a little bit.
Okay.
But I walked away from this weekend's Tiger series with a potentially irrational and bold declaration. And
okay.
I think it can be both.
Okay.
But if you know anything, whether you agree with my opinions or not, I don't do hot takes. I do things I can back up, and it doesn't mean they're right. And it doesn't mean people will agree, but I have something here.
So we have a rule on the show. I don't know if you've ever applied this. We call it the hunch.
The hunch.
Don't have to back up anything.
It's just the hunch.
No. This is different than that.
Okay,
this has merit. This has support. I have reasons.
You're reading your own tea leaves, coming up with your own hypothesis.
Yeah, and Gator, I know what I'm going to do is irresponsible. And by the way, it's all positive. There's nothing snarky about this. It just... things became crystal clear to me.
I want to
lay out the three things at the start. We'll get to the Scooble and the All-Star snubs that weren't later. And then we've got to talk Elliot Friedman, who apparently now Steve is up on the cross. Poor Steve, nobody wants to be here. Then be better at your job. We'll do that a little bit later because I got to tell you. Hey, are you, by the way, real quick, how pumped are you for Erik Karlsson and his Lego feet?
What a great line.
Well, they're shattered. They're like Malcolm Brogdon.
So I'm not pumped about anything.
I know. That's what sucks, doesn't it?
Yep.
But ultimately, and this has part of been my pitch with this, look, Detroit's not an excuse for Scott Harris. They damn near landed Alex Bregman. And you go, oh, almost. Guys, the team that got him paid him more than Aaron Judge. You can't compete with that. Like, Trajan Langdon walked through the door. He got people to come here, and you won. Steve, in year seven, either the product is so unexciting players don't want to be here, or you, who are viewed, per Hockey Insiders, as a nightmare to deal with by agents, you're not good at your job right now. So I want to have a conversation. Let Elliot Friedman's words speak. Gator's burning a hole through my skull right now.
No, I said earlier that it's been so disappointing with how this rebuild has gone. And you know, I'm still willing to let this offseason continue to be an offseason where there's potential for a trade. But if they don't trade, if there's no trade coming, and you're just stockpiling all this cap space for what? For the trade deadline?
I could have hired anyone to do that. That's my point.
Yeah.
And Yzerman is
good. But he's done a good job of drafting.
Absolutely.
So,
but
Gator,
you know what it is now. In 2025, it is a comprehensive, whether you are the GM, I can't believe I'm going to throw up saying this, and Doug will too, whether you're the GM of a college football team or the GM of the Boston Red Sox or anything in between, it has to be a comprehensive approach if you're going to be serious about winning. Now, if you're like some of these AL Central teams, who are we kidding? They just sit there.
Okay, so you're opening with...
I'm doing the Tiger. I have three Tiger declarations.
Okay.
And they're all good. There's nothing bad, I promise. But I really believe in the third one, and I don't think I'm going to get any support. It might be too positive.
Wow.
I know.
All right.
Just work with
it. All right, no, I look forward to this. That's good. Next. Good to see you, Mike. Have a great day, everyone, and treat each other with respect. 97.1.